New insights on habit 4, think win-win. Many years ago, our company, Franklin Covey, licensed our intellectual property to a small technology firm that was allowed to use it in their products. It seemed like a win-win partnership at first. They got to use our IP, we got financial remuneration. Things were fine at first. After a few years, however, we felt they were advertising in ways that damaged our brand and were contrary to what we had initially agreed upon. So I spoke with our partner and told them that their company needed to change their advertising or they would lose their license with us. Instead of complying, he replied, "We're not changing anything about how we advertise because we aren't doing anything wrong. In fact, it is your company that is violating the agreement." I couldn't believe his gall. I talked with our management team. They felt it was too risky to continue the partnership and that we needed to get our intellectual property back. So I tried to negotiate a deal with them, but discussions quickly broke down and trust eroded. Although we always try to avoid going to court and have seldom done so, we felt it was our only course of action. Our legal team believed we were in the right and would win the case. In our last conversation, one of the owners of this technology company said to me, "I've known and respected your family for years, and I consider your uncle a good friend of mine. And I always thought you were good people, until now." His words cut deeply, and I began to think, going legal is going to cost both of us hundreds of thousands of dollars. Surely there is a better way. Not knowing if he would even talk to me, I reached out to him a few days later and ventured, "Listen, it is going to cost both of us a lot of money if we go to court. Would you be willing to meet with me privately to see if we could find another way? Just you and me, without the lawyers?" Reluctantly, he agreed. By doing this, I went against our legal counsel, who felt that meeting with them might compromise our case in court. I felt it was worth the risk. The next day, he came into my office. I said, "My intent is to find a win-win solution that we both feel good about. If we can't make a deal, then we can fight it out in the courts. I want to try, though. Would you be willing to try?" "I don't know how we possibly could, but yeah, I'll try," he said. "Help me understand how you see this situation," I said. I went to the whiteboard and wrote down everything he said, point by point, until about 15 items were listed. And then I asked, "Is there anything else?" And he gave me a couple more points. I then said, "Let me walk through each of these to make sure I understand your point of view." And I repeated back each of his concerns one by one. After we reviewed them, I asked, "Do you feel like I understand you?" "Yes, I do," he said. At that moment, the feeling in the room changed. For the first time, he felt understood. I was deeply influenced as well. I could now clearly see for the first time why he felt the way he did and why he believed we were not fulfilling our part of the agreement. I then asked, "Would you mind if I shared how we see the situation?" I wrote down all of our points on the other half of the whiteboard. He listened intently, and I could tell that he understood where we were coming from and that he, too, was deeply influenced. The energy suddenly turned positive and hopeful, and we felt differently about each other. There was complete mutual understanding. "Now that we both understand each other, what do you want to do about it?" I asked. We started brainstorming and got very creative, and in about 30 minutes we came up with a solution that we both felt good about, a buyout at a fair price with a long transition period. During the brainstorm, it was funny to see how we both started advocating for each other. It turned out to be a transformational experience that took less than 2 hours and saved us both a ton of money. There were no more discussions of a lawsuit. We shook hands and parted. A week later, he called and we went to lunch, where we had a great time, and he told me, "I always knew you had a good family." Even our legal team was pleased. The Abundance Mentality, a key to human happiness. Speaking of the legal profession, University of Pennsylvania psychologist Martin Seligman has pointed out that lawyers are consistently among the highest paid professionals, even surpassing medical doctors, yet they are among the saddest. Seligman indicated that 52% of lawyers describe themselves as dissatisfied with their career. What's most interesting is what Seligman identifies as the primary reason for these ailments. He says, "The deepest of all psychological factors making lawyers unhappy is that U.S. law has become increasingly a win-loss game." He goes on to add that U.S. law has migrated from being a practice in which good counsel about justice and fairness was the primary good to being a big business in which billable hours, take-no-prisoners victories, and the bottom line are now the principal ends. Now, I know a lot of healthy and happy lawyers, as well as lawyers who operate from a win-win paradigm, so I'm not trying to pick on them. My point is simply that any time we start to take on an adversarial or win-lose paradigm of the world, the negative energy that comes from it can really take a toll. Think win-win is an attitude toward life that says, I can win, and so can you. It's not me or you, it's both of us. Think win-win is the foundation for getting along with other people. It begins with the belief that we are all equal, that no one is inferior or superior to anyone else, and that no one needs to be. My father spoke often about the importance of cultivating an abundance mentality, the belief that there is enough success to go around, and that your success does not take away from mine. He felt that this mentality was a true gift and the foundation for achieving public victories. As a university professor, my dad's classes became so popular that they had to be held in the basketball arena. He faced jealousy, small-mindedness, and scarcity from his peers, but I never heard him disparage any of his colleagues, even those who were envious. He always treated scarcity with abundance. When he started a company, Covey Leadership Center, one of the founding partners attempted a coup, trying to boot Dad out of the very company he founded. The coup backfired. But what stuck out to me was how my dad freely forgave the man who tried to bring him down, while everyone else wanted to expel him from the planet. Dad didn't like negative energy of any kind and would avoid it like the plague, always saying, I don't want to get my head into it, and finding ways to think positively about people and situations. I learned what the abundance mentality was all about by watching how my dad and his younger brother, my Uncle John, got along. Since childhood, they were fiercely loyal to one another and the best of friends. When my father was in college, he was an intramural boxer. During one match, his opponent hit my dad so hard that his shoulder was knocked out of its socket. Yet his opponent kept punching him. Uncle John jumped into the ring and pulled the opponent off him, yelling, "Stop hitting my brother! Can't you see that his shoulder is broken?" As they grew up and raised children, it was as if I had two fathers, my real one and Uncle John. My cousins felt the same way about my father. I never heard either of them say anything negative about the other. My dad achieved worldwide acclaim, which could have been hard on John. But instead of feeling jealous or threatened, John was genuinely happy for him and considered my dad's success his own. The positive energy that has emanated from this abundant relationship between two brothers and passed on to their children and grandchildren could power an entire city. Win-win is the only alternative. Win-lose is counterproductive, competitive, and full of pride. In the words of C.S. Lewis, pride gets no pleasure out of having something, only out of having more of it than the next man. It is the comparison that makes you proud, the pleasure of being above the rest. Lose-win doesn't work either. It's the doormat syndrome. Wipe your feet on me. Everyone else does. Win-win is the only practical alternative. Yet some will say that win-win is soft, and that you'll get your lunch eaten if you try it in difficult business situations. As my intellectual property story illustrated, that has not been my experience. A few years ago, Franklin Covey was working with a telecommunications company that was busy laying cable in cities across the United States. In most cases, cities were eager to have the cable laid in spite of the temporary disruptions it caused. One major city, however, was not keen on the idea. They knew that if they allowed one cable company to tear up the city, they would have to allow the same for every cable company that followed them. They did not want their city repeatedly torn up. Negotiations ultimately came to a standstill. The city was not willing to proceed unless the company paid them a fee. The result would have been no cable access for the citizens, a loss for the city, and no access to thousands of customers, a loss for the company. They were headed for a lose-lose. One of the negotiators for the telecommunications company had recently been through the Seven Habits training and began thinking, how can we turn this into a win-win? Under his leadership, the company went back to the city and said, what if when we lay our cable, we also laid cable for two or three future providers? We'd turn over the cable access to them for less cost than they would typically incur. Then the city would be torn up only once. The city loved this idea. The cable was laid. When the competitors arrived, they were delighted to learn that the cable was already in the ground and at a much reduced cost. So the city and its citizens won because their streets were not constantly torn up, and they got their cable. And the competition won because they got their cable laid at lower rates. But the biggest win was for the initial company. The two competitors paid them more than the installation had cost. They had laid their cable for free and picked up some spending money on the side. It only takes one person to start thinking win-win for everyone to ultimately win. Thinking win-win is always the better choice. Nur Halevi and L.T. Phillips at Stanford ran studies with MBA students using game scenarios with more than 12 million rounds and clearly showed that cooperative strategies produce significantly more profits than competitive strategies. I could quote research study after research study that concludes this exact same thing, but I don't have to because we all know intuitively that this is the case. So, think win-win. Balance what you want with what others want. Be courageous and considerate. Think win-win at home with your spouse, partner, or teenager. Practice it at work with your boss, direct reports, and colleagues. Live it with your suppliers, partners, vendors, and customers. If you find this hard to do, then go back to habits 1, 2, and 3. Clarify your motives and win a private victory first. This will give you the strength to start thinking win-win.